You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Praise the Lord. We're so glad you came today. I mean, there's a lot of things you could have done, but you came to church. So cheer up. I don't know, you know, where you are spiritually speaking, but I know this, you've done the right thing. You've come here this morning to worship God, to hear from God, maybe to get help. I don't know what the case may be, but you're in the right place. And, you know, God's pleased with you. He really is. He's not mad at you. He doesn't hate you. He's for you, not against you. He's your friend, your hope, your answer, your future, your destiny. He's all that. Hallelujah. And so we're going to hear from heaven today. Amen. Many of you probably already heard from heaven. We've had great service already. You know, it's amazing in a church like ours, the anointing comes in, the Spirit begins to move, and things begin to happen, get, you know, start shaking up on the inside of you, even the worship. Or maybe the announcements, or just as we pray over the sick, or just a testimony that someone shared. And then, of course, we get down to the Word. We'd be remiss by not doing that. Then all kinds of things begin to open up. But you ought to come with an air of expectancy from start to finish. Hello. You ought to come, I mean, hungry and willing to be changed. Two reasons, two ways you ought to come to church. Come hungry, because that'll determine how much you get.
Yeah,
not real hungry, you won't eat much. But then, come willing to be changed. Because you do need to change. I need to change. All of us can be better. Thank God we're doing great. We're here. Praise God you're here. But you know and I know you can do better.
Amen.
Amen. I can do better. And so God, change me. See, I come with that attitude. Help me. Help me be more like Jesus. Help me be a better father, a better husband, and a better pastor. You know, a better witness.
Amen.
Better papa that didn't get his grandsons all poison ivied up and everything. Hallelujah. They wanted to help papa, you know. And okay, let's get off that. Turn with me to Matthew, the 4th chapter. I want to just share with you this morning, just take our time, peruse through the Scriptures, and just look at Jesus' ministry and how He started His ministry. You know, it's important how you start a ministry. You start out, obviously, the way you want to finish it. You start out immediately when you start out, you want to declare and decree and define that ministry, what you're about, what you do, and then you carry that on through. I know even in running a race, the pace you start out at is going to determine how you end that race. Hello. And especially in Jesus' case, He wanted everybody to know right up front what He's about. I don't think we ought to hide the fact that we're Christians, that we're saved, that we believe the Bible, that we believe in Jesus, that we believe in holy living, all those kinds of things. The longer you put that off and sharing that and with people, the more compromises you're going to have to make. Hello. And so you need to start out strong. Start out strong, you'll end up strong. Start out, you know, as best you know how, based on the Word, you'll end up on the Word. Your journey will carry on through. You start out making compromises, those compromises will grow into big compromises. Those little things become big things. Nobody gets in a huge sin overnight, just all of a sudden, out of nowhere. Usually it's the cumulative of small sins that turn into big sins. And I'm going to tell you, just flip that coin. Nobody becomes a great witness and a great shining light to the world and a role model for people to follow overnight. They start out small, doing nice things, good things, right things, holy things, praying about things. And those accumulative little things build up to big things. And as they get to the end of their life, hallelujah, we think what a blessing they've been to us, what a blessing they've been to this world. But they started out right. Amen? They started out right. Jesus started out His ministry. In fact, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we've got all four accounts here where we can see what happened. First, we know He got filled with the Spirit. The Spirit came on Him, which is significant. Jesus was Spirit-filled. Jesus was Holy Ghost. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I mentioned last week, just in passing as a joke, getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. We're not a Presbyterian church. It's just a joke. I mean, God bless Presbyterians. Usually they're real quiet and real... In fact, we had a couple come from Presbyterian church. Now, God bless Presbyterians. We love, if you're watching this TV, God bless you. We're for Presbyterian church. But this is a true story. There was a couple that came, started coming to our church, and they came out of a Presbyterian church in the Dallas area, one in particular that was very, very quiet, real quiet. If you hadn't figured it out yet, we're not real quiet. But anyway, there was a plaque on the back pew when you walked in the door. It says, "Be quiet. Remember, you're in church." And I thought, what a neat idea. Let's get a big plaque and put it on the back of our chair and say, "Get loud. Remember, you're in church. Turn loose. Shout, holler, scream, dance, and run the aisles. You are in church. It's time to get free." Hallelujah. I don't know what you've been through or where you've been, but praise God now you're in church. Woo-hoo! You can clap, you can holler, you can shout, you can have a big time. Amen? All right, well, Matthew 4, you found it? After Jesus was filled with the Spirit, after the Spirit came on Him, in fact, you'll find this Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In fact, all four accounts tell us that the Spirit came on Him. Y'all are looking at my cuffs. They look okay? Are my socks the wrong color? Huh? Okay, is this wrong? Okay, let me straighten that out. Look better? Okay. You have no idea what I had to put up with, my wife and one of my daughters, the secretary on the front row. And they'll look at you. So I know something's wrong. I don't know what it is, but I'm thinking, okay. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, after Jesus was filled with the Spirit. Now, that's significant because even Jesus' disciples, before He sent them out to minister. Now, while He was here, they ministered under His anointing on the auspices of Jesus. In other words, He authorized them. But now when He left this earth, and He sent the Holy Spirit. And He told them to tarry in Jerusalem till they be endued with power from on high. He said, after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power and you shall be witnesses. And so we see the church starting out in power. We see it starting out in the miraculous, starting out in the supernatural. And the book of Acts is testimony to that. Jesus Himself didn't start His ministry till the Spirit came on Him. And yet He was the Son of God for 30 years. We know that. He was no more the Son of God when the Spirit of God came on Him than He was 30 years before. He was born the Son of God. Are you with me? But to minister, you need something more than just your intelligence, your ability, your talents, and your gifts. You need the Spirit to minister accurately. Sure, you can talk about Jesus, so on and so forth. But see, the Bible's not full of just doctrine. It's full of testimonies. It's full of happenings. It's full of... See, the book of Acts is not the book of teaching. It's the book of Acts. Now stay with me. I believe in teaching. I are a teacher. I am called to teach. I believe that is my gift, as it were. As a pastor, I am a teacher. Amen. I understand that. But we teach real things. We teach experiences. We teach happenings. Hello, there's something more going on here than just teaching. There's something more going on than just doctrine. Oh, we teach doctrine, yes, but it is about a real person named Jesus who will change your life. Hallelujah. Who, if you get a hold of, he'll heal you and set you free and put you on your feet. And he's been the one that you've been looking for, as that song says. Hey, you're the one I've been looking for. You didn't know it, but He's the one you've been looking for. So it's an experience. It's something more than just getting together and reading the Bible. The Bible's about real things, real people, real God, real happenings. Amen? Hallelujah. Kind of like Starbucks. They don't just sell coffee, they sell an experience. So having cleared the air there now, Jesus, when He started out His ministry, here in the fourth chapter, of course, we know that He was tempted and the Spirit came on Him, then He was tempted, He overcame temptation, and then He went out into the villages and began to minister and gathered His disciples around Him and got a group of guys together to go out and multiply this thing and organize this thing. God is about society. He is about church. He is about fellowship. Amen? We know that. And if we're going to be effective in ministry, we need to get in fellowship somewhere and get in church somewhere. Amen? And here's a good one. I mean, if you're a member of another church, stay there. Stay faithful. Appreciate you visiting today. We're not trying to proselyte you, but everyone ought to be in a church. Amen? So He gathers the group together. And it says in the 23rd verse, this is the start of Jesus' ministry. This is where He comes out of the temptation of the wilderness and starts His ministry. 23rd verse, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, good news of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people." This was Jesus' ministry. This is what he did. He taught, he preached, he healed. He taught, he preached, he healed. You might say preaching is proclaiming, declaring, to proclaim the message. Teaching would be to explain the message. Of course, any evangelistic type ministry generally is preaching, is proclaiming the message. And then and you get in church, you start hearing more teaching, explanation, or explaining the message. That's why it says he taught in their synagogues. Because most of them are already converted. Most of them are, they needed teaching. They needed explanation. See, it's not all about evangelism. It's not all about teaching. It's about both. You've got to put it all together. Amen? And that's why you see sometimes problems in ministries where maybe it's just all crusades, but they don't hook them up with the church. They don't ever get grounded and so on and so forth. And then you flip that coin, you have churches that are not evangelistic at all. And that's a problem too, because they really don't reach their community. They have some good teaching maybe, but they're not reaching out to, or encouraging people to witness and be a witness and evangelize and so on. You need both, amen? You need preaching and you need teaching. But let me tell you something else you need. You need healing. You need the miraculous. Because without the miraculous, you've got two-thirds of the ministry going here. You might as well put it on the sign out there. Church of the two-thirds. Hello. That's really, if you take that out, that's 666. That's kind of man. That's 666. Oh, boy. Ooh, I didn't mean it that way. It's come out that way. 66%, you know. Now, come on. I'm just making a joke. Don't run out here and just start telling people that. I'm just trying to wake you up. We're full gospel. You know what full gospel means? Full means full. Full. We preach the whole thing. The whole enchilada. Yeah. We ate the whole thing. We took it all. We took the whole thing. And part of that is healing. In fact, Jesus did not just teach. He did not just preach. But he also healed all kinds of disease among the people. The church ought to be a place where you can come and get good teaching, good preaching, and get healed. Hallelujah. I'll be a place where you can get your miracle. A place where you can get encouraged, you get taught, you get stirred. Preaching sometimes stirs us. I mean, it gets us, we're ready to jump up and down and stand on the chairs and holler and scream and, it's good. But you need teaching too. You need to be stirred. Emotions are not all bad. So they're good. We can use them in a good way. So we need to be fired up, but we need to be taught also. But we need the miraculous also. You know, a vital part of our service is the prayer, the time of prayer. We lay hands on the sick and pray for those prayer request cards and different people. And then, of course, Brenda this morning had people give testimonies. What an awesome confirmation, approval, as it were, God putting his stamp on it and saying, that's right. Amen. When you get up and say, hey, we prayed and this happened, that happened. I got this miracle and this took place and that happened. That's wonderful. We need testimonies. Amen? We need witnesses to the truth. The Bible's filled with examples and witnesses of the doctrine. Examples and testimonies of the teaching. In fact, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is just story after story of people, real people, real lives that were touched by the power of God, healed miraculously, set free. The book of Acts carries it on. Filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues, miracles took place, lame people walked, people raised from the dead. It's filled with teaching, preaching, and also healing. The church ought to be the same way. Hallelujah. I think this is why many times churches miss out. It's because there's nothing real. There's nothing practical. There's doctrine. There's teaching, which we must have. Now listen, this is not either or. This is not to say, well, listen, that's what we need to do. Forget all the teaching. Forget all the preaching. And let's just have miracles. No, that won't work, because teaching and preaching brings the miracles. And they work together. It takes faith to be healed. It takes teaching to have faith. But once you get the teaching and your faith rises up, you ought to use your faith and get that miracle and get that healing. Hallelujah. Church ought to be a place where you love to come to. I mean, ought to be a place where you, hallelujah. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That's what David said. Can't wait to get down there. I know the Spirit of God's going to show up. I'm going to meet my brothers and sisters and fellowship with them. We're going to worship. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to be changed. My heart's going to be touched. And you know, whatever it is I've been dragging around with me this week, I don't have to drag it around. I can let it go. I can get some strength. I can get some help. I can get some hope. Hallelujah. I'm going to church.
Amen.
Better than a hospital.
Amen.
Thank God for hospitals. But church is a place where you can get everything taken care of. Amen?
Mm.
Well, so it says there, Matthew 4:23, went about preaching in their teaching in our synagogues, preaching the good news of the gospel, healing all that were all disease, all kinds of disease, sickness and disease among the people. 24th verse, then his fame went throughout all Syria. Everybody say his fame. In other words, the report of him, a footnote says here, the fame or the report of him went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments. Now think about this. They heard of Jesus, and they brought sick people, those that were afflicted with various diseases and torments, those that were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. They heard of Jesus, and they brought... Well, now, why would they bring sick people when they heard of Jesus? They must have heard Jesus heals people. You'll get it in a minute. See, this is what we ought to hear about Jesus. We ought to hear that Jesus is in the healing business. He didn't shut it down when he left, went to heaven. In fact, he went to great pains to make sure it continued on. He went to great lengths of explanation to his disciples of what he wanted the church to be and what he wanted the kingdom to be about. He trained them for 3 years while he was on earth, sent them out to heal diseases and raise the dead and cast out devils and tell them the kingdom of God's come near you. Then he told them after he rose from the dead, before he sent the Holy Spirit, to wait in Jerusalem till they got that power on them. Why? Because it's preaching, it's teaching, and it's healing the sick. Hello. The church is all that. It's not one or the other, it's all that. Well, I just like good teaching. Well, I like a good teach like anybody. I mean, I like a good teach. I'm a teach myself. And I tell you, there are times I like a good healing, too. Hello? Sometimes I need some good preaching. I actually tell you the truth, I just like it all. Just call me Jimmy, I'll take all you give me. It's all good, and it's all God. And it should all be in the church.
Amen.
Amen. This is how Jesus started his ministry. You know what? This is how he continued his ministry. And this is how he ended his ministry. And this is how he started or wanted the church to start. It did start this way. All you have to do is read the book of Acts and see the things that took place. Immediately there's a lame man healed in Acts, the 3rd chapter, sitting at the gate beautiful, asking for alms. Remember Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer and they met this lame man asking for alms. And he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. And he took him by his hand and lifted him up, and he jumped, leaped, shouted, and praised God. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
Wasn't a real quiet service, but you know, a miracle took place.
Amen.
And then the people began to crowd around them on Solomon's porch. The Bible says, greatly wondering because of the tumult. So evidently something took place there that was loud enough, that was contagious enough, that caught on enough, that people began to come around. And boy, Peter turns around and preaches to them. Ooh, can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
So, I mean, there's the book of Acts. I mean, there's the church starting out with miracles, signs, wonders. Paul, miracles, signs, and wonders, and so on. Jesus, miracles, signs, and wonders. You know, we serve a supernatural God. Do you know that? Now, think about this. You can't represent a supernatural God without supernatural manifestations. How is that possible? If this God's real, if this God's imminent, as they say, if this God is very much involved in our lives, the working of our lives, if he's a right now God and the great I am, not the one great I'm going to be, if he is all that and we know he is, then where are these miracles? Where are these deliverances? Where are these healings? Where are these testimonies? Where are these changed lives? Yes, we have some changed lives. That's good. That's wonderful. We need that. But we also need those miracles. We need those healings. We need those deliverances. We need those testimonies. Because He's either the Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. Woo! Part and parcel. Healing is part and parcel of the gospel. It's part of the gospel. You can't separate it from the gospel because it is the gospel. You can't even preach. I've even heard this said before in ministers with great intentions and good heart. Good heart. Meant well when they said it. I've heard them tell me this. You know, I just want to preach Jesus. Well, that's great. My question is, what part of Him would you like to preach? Which part of Jesus would you like to preach? Would you like to preach part of Jesus or all of Jesus? See, if you're going to preach Jesus in His entirety, Jesus in His wholeness, Jesus in His ministry, Jesus in the setting the Bible puts Him in, then you're going to have to preach miracles. You've got to preach healings. You've got to preach deliverances because that's part and parcel to the gospel. Forgiveness, you better believe it. Deliverance from drugs and jails and life of sin and saving you from the clutches of hell and getting you born again, you better believe it. But healing also. Hello. And miracles also. In other words, He's a full service God.
Amen.
Totally. Spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. And Jesus ministered to the whole man. Listen, when you're sick, you know you want to heal it. When your children are sick, you know you want to heal it. And God wants you to be healed too. Hallelujah. And so this is just part of it. Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of good news of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of diseases, all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. So much so that when they heard of Him, let's read it again here. Now listen, when they heard of Him, the report, His fame, when it went out through all Syria, they brought to Him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and He healed them all. Wow. Great multitudes, 25th verse. Great multitudes followed Him from Galilee, from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond Jordan. Wow, I love that. I just love that. People hungered for Jesus when they heard about who He was. I'm going to tell you something. People will hunger for Jesus when they find out who He really is.
Amen.
And it's up to us to tell them.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. It's up to us to preach that message and share that message. It's up to us to be that example, be that light. Jesus is not putting them through the problem. Jesus is taking them out of the problem. Jesus is not putting that stuff on them. Jesus wants to take that stuff off them. Hallelujah. See, the world has the idea that when things go wrong, God's trying to teach them something, or God's getting on their case or whatever. No, God's good. God's not bad. Now, obviously, sin will get you in trouble and get you in all kinds of mess, but Jesus came to take the mess off, take the load off. Hallelujah. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You will find rest for your souls, is what He said. Woo, hallelujah. He was a need meter, not a need creator. He was a healer. He is the Lord God that healeth thee, not the Lord that maketh thee sick. And Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord God, I change not. Aren't you glad He doesn't change? Well, that was then, this is now. Well, whether then or now, Jesus is still Lord.
Amen.
Whether then or now, He's the Lord God. He changes not. Whatever He did then, He's doing now. He is the great I am, not the great I'm going to be or the great I was.
That's right. Yeah.
God never stopped doing what He ever has done. He's still doing the same things He's always done. He has never changed. If anybody's changed, it's been us. But hallelujah, we can change back. We can repent, we can turn, we can call, and whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Woo! Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus, whatever He was, still is the same thing today.
That's right.
Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, wouldn't it have been nice to live in the Bible days? Well, listen, we're living in the Bible days. This is the Bible days. We're not serving another Jesus. It's the same Jesus. You know, Jerry asked me earlier, he asked me how I was doing, Jerry. And Jerry Jones, he said, well, how you doing? I said, oh, about the same, maybe a little samer. You know, Jesus, he's just the same, maybe a little samer. And this Jesus, and I don't know about everybody else's Jesus, but this Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John Jesus, Bible Jesus, the one that saved my soul, the one that forgave my sins, the one that brought me out of a life of sin and washed me in his blood. Woo! Wow. This Jesus, he's the same. He's the same Jesus. I don't serve another Jesus. It's the same Jesus.
Amen.
And you know, he didn't just save my soul. He did that. Yes, he did. He didn't just love me. He did that. He's doing that. He definitely does that. But you know, I can call on him in the time of trouble. And he's the same.
Amen.
He's the same.
Yeah.
Yesterday, today, and forever.
Hallelujah.
I can depend on him for great teaching and great preaching. He can stir me. Hallelujah. And he can expound and explain to me. No question, without a doubt. And I'll tell you what, he still heals my body. Still heals my family.
Amen.
He's still a miraculous Jesus. He's still a supernatural Jesus. See, supernatural just means supernatural. You got the natural, but see, until you get to Jesus, you don't have the supernatural.
Amen.
Super's above the natural. Super's beyond the natural. Super's better than the natural. Superman. Leap buildings at a single bound. Faster than a speeding bullet. Superman. Jesus is Superman. You will know the truth. He's the real Superman. Hallelujah. Well, turn to Mark. Notice this. Mark, first chapter. We're just looking at Jesus' ministry. I mean, if you're going to explain Jesus to someone or maybe get your concept right about him and what he does, it's real simple. Thank God we have four accounts here. We've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Tells us all about Jesus. Tells us what he did, how he started his ministry, what he preached, what he taught, what he did. See, he didn't just say things, he also did things. He said and did. Word and deed. Churches ought to be full of words and deeds. It ought to be full of teaching and ministering, acts, experiences, and so on and so forth. There's an experience going on here. I hope you got a hold of it. I hope you experienced Jesus. I hope you didn't just hear about him. I hope you experienced Jesus. I hope you didn't just assent to a doctrine or mentally agreed to something that was said here. I hope you experienced him. I hope you really know him. Because it's really knowing him that gets you saved. Amen? And when you know him, there's more to him than just salvation, just eternal life and forgiveness. Now, obviously, you can be born again and go to heaven and know Jesus and not know anything about healing. That's not what I'm saying. Don't twist what I'm saying. There's a lot of great churches in our community that do not emphasize much on healing or miracles or signs or wonders. They do preach salvation through Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins, the born-again experience, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank God for that. We're not in competition with those churches. Are you with me? Do not twist what I'm saying. We're not blasting them. We're not trying to burn them down. We're not trying to run them out of town. There are brothers and sisters. We thank God for whoever preaches Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yes.
What I'm saying here, though, is that Jesus is more than just eternal life. He's more than just forgiveness of sins. And his ministry proved that. And we have four accounts to even tell us that. And then if you want to go to the fifth account, the book of Acts, where it's carried on, you see the same thing carried on. Miracles, signs, and wonders. God forbid we, the church, today, this year, 2008, all of a sudden would stop all that when this is what he's all about. Amen? God wants you healed. He wants you to experience the supernatural and the miraculous. He's all about that. Mark, the first chapter, of course, same scenario. He was filled with the Spirit. The Spirit came on him. He was tempted and overcame temptation, so on and so forth. And then he comes into the... he gathers his disciples together, makes them fishers of men. I love that. says the 21st verse, then they went into Capernaum. This is where he's starting his ministry now. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. He was a teacher. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He actually sounded like he believed what he was preaching. He actually taught with authority. It wasn't wishy-washy. It wasn't maybe. You know, who knows? It may happen. You could pray. God might do something, might not do something. You never know. God, you know, who knows God? Who could find out God? Consider the snowflakes. They're all different. I've heard sermons like that. No, he didn't teach that way. He didn't say pray, and you know, God may say yes. He may say no. He may say wait a while. He didn't say that. He didn't talk like that at all. Jesus got in there and he says, whatever you ask, believing, you will receive. Mark 11:24, it says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe, you receive them and you shall have them. Matthew 7:7, he said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open unto you. And in case you didn't get it, he went on to say, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. And everyone that seeketh, findeth. And everyone that knocketh, the door will be open unto you. And in case you didn't get it, he went on and says, which of you, having a son that comes to you and asks for a piece of bread, would you throw him a rock and say, here, chew on that? Or ask for a fish and you throw him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? I'd submit to you that's authority. He taught matter-of-factly, point blank. Didn't pull any punches. He didn't say prayer was a gamble. He wasn't at Las Vegas. He wasn't pulling the lever and hoping it came up triple nickels. He wasn't saying, shoot one up there, and you never know, God may be in a good mood. No. He came and he showed us the love of God. More than an earthly father.
Yes, he did.
He showed us a God that's very much involved in our life, very much involved in our family, in our situations, if we'll just believe. He taught as one who had authority and not as the scribes. Notice this, 23rd verse. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth, that you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Devils speaking up in church. King James kind of really tones it down here. It says, but Jesus rebuked him and said, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. That's a different service, isn't it? Different kind of service. Wasn't a real staid, quiet service. Jesus is preaching, putting it on the line. Devil acts up. He just casts the devil out of him. He screams and gets set free. A whole lot of shaking going on, as Elvis would say. And Elvis ain't in the house, but Jesus is. The unclean spirit convulsed him, cried out with a loud voice. He came out of him. Then they were all amazed. So that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Think about it. This was new. This might be new to your thinking. I don't know. But I can tell you what new doctrine this is. This is Jesus. Always has been, always will be. Amen. This is the same Jesus that you accepted as your Lord and Savior. Amen. This Jesus is a miracle-working Jesus. Amen. This Jesus will get you on the straight and narrow. This Jesus will give you more wisdom than you'll ever get from any seminar you'll ever go to outside the Bible, outside the Word, outside the Scripture. Jesus will give you all the wisdom you need to make it in marriage and life and business and so on. So He'll do all that. He'll teach. He'll preach. He'll stir you. He'll motivate you. You don't have to go to motivational seminar to get this. You can get this in church. You can get motivated in church. You can get preached to. You can get taught. Let me tell you something else. You can get healed and you can get delivered.
Amen.
Well, I got this hanging on to that. Well, you can get delivered. Hallelujah. This Jesus is a healing Jesus. Because He doesn't just teach in the synagogues and preach in the villages. He heals diseases also. Woo! In fact, I got to close this out. This helping you? Look at Luke. Luke 5, turn there. Fascinating verse. God is a good God. God is a loving God. God is a supernatural God. You know, the Bible tells us they ought to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Jesus is the one that said that. He said that in Mark 16 chapter to the church. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils and speak with new tongues. Woo, hallelujah. Didn't say talk to devils, pat them on the back. It said cast out devils and speak with new tongues. I heard a guy say one time the church has started passing out devils and casting out tracts. Okay, think about it. The church ought to pass out tracts and cast out devils. Y'all sure are quiet. Y'all getting this? Are you with me this morning? Okay. Am I helping you? All right. Hallelujah. Well, you know, healing is part of the church. In fact, the Bible tells us, any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. James 5, 14, 15, 16. It says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. That 16th verse says, confess your faults one to another. Pray ye one for another that you may be healed. Hallelujah. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Luke 5, y'all found it? I'm bringing this to close. I'm holding you a little later 12. That's okay. Y'all needed it. See, you didn't get it in the first part. I had to hold you a little later. Luke 5, 15. However, the report went around concerning him all the more. He actually just healed a man of leprosy. He told him not to go spread it. He told him to go to the priest and for to examination to be cleansed according to the law. He'd been healed, but he needed to go through the process. And Jesus is not against the process. So he needed to go and let the priest examine him so the people would know he's clean, although he was healed. And he said, don't go spread it. Just go straight to the priest. Well, he went and spread it all over the place. And boy, I mean, everybody heard about it. 15th verse. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. To hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. I wonder sometimes when we come to church if we come with that attitude. Maybe we might come to hear something, but do we come to be healed? Notice they came to hear and to be healed. Church was a place where you could hear the word and you could be healed. Jesus was a Jesus and is a Jesus. He never was. He still is. Jesus is a Jesus who you can hear from this morning and you can be healed this morning. And we're the church. We're not the church of the devil. We're the church of Jesus. We're not the church of man. We're the church of Jesus. Jesus whom we preach. So every church ought to be a place where you can come and hear Him and you can come and be healed by Him. I want you to know Jesus loves you and He's for you, not against you. And you can be delivered and you can be set free and you can be healed. And you can be made whole. He's not just about you suffering until you die and go to heaven. Oh, there's sufferings in this life and trials and tribulations. Sure, but I'll tell you what, there's answers too and there's hope and there's victory and there's healing. There's deliverance. And it's in Jesus. Always has been. Always will be. Hey! Hey! You're the one that I've been looking for. And I found you here. You know who you've been looking for? Jesus. That's who you've been looking for. And you found Him. Hallelujah. He's the Lord of all. Praise God.